Father, thank you that we can come together to your word today. And we just, Lord, open our heart to you that you may just minister to us. Help us, Lord, to receive from you. Help us, Lord, to see and understand, Lord, your word and to make it part of our life. That we may be changed, transformed, empowered by it. Because this is what you send it for. This is what your plan is, and this is what's going to happen if we allow it to change the way we think. In Jesus' name, amen. So, authority or the believer. We have been looking at the qualifications that we have as ministers of the new covenant. And that qualification doesn't come by going to the seminary, doesn't come by taking courses, comes by the Holy Spirit in us. That doesn't mean that we have to be ignorant. But there are plenty of people that have great worldly qualification and they have absolutely no power in them. Because the power is not coming from a man's qualification. It comes from the Holy Spirit presence within us that empower us to do the things that God wants us to do. See, man cannot do that. Man can tell us to do certain things, and we are going to struggle all the time to try to keep up with the level that they are trying to impose on us. But if instead the Holy Spirit is in us, that is his job to teach us, to enable us, to give us understanding, and to give us the power to be able to do the things that God gives us to do. See, it's not our education. It's a transformation that has happened to us that makes all the difference. So if we are born again, the Holy Spirit is inside us. If we are spirit-filled, it's even more. You know, it's not just in us, but it's also around us to minister to others. And Jesus very clearly said that to wait in Jerusalem until so that we can do some work for him. So that we had to, but we had to realize and understand, you know, that we depend on the Holy Spirit to minister. That we can waste all your time and energy and try to do all the good works that we think are good works instead, you know, being doing men's things that have no power to change anybody. And this is the problem most of the time today. There's lots of doctrines, lots of books, lots of things, but the Holy Spirit isn't there because otherwise we would get better results. You see, look at the statistics and tells you the story. You know, that's the bottom line. Anyway, and the whole thing starts with really recognize and understanding who we are. Our identity in Christ. The fact that we, because of, he became sin for us so that we can be the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God is not just a title or something that we go around. It's not just a doctrine. Because doctrine in themselves can be just theories. The righteousness of God is a reality that we experience in our life. It's that reality that's brought about by the Holy Spirit work inside us. The Holy Spirit empowerment to do the things that God wants us to do, so that to do those things is not hard or not difficult, is the only thing that we can do. Because that's who we are. See, this is our identity, is righteousness. And righteousness doesn't mean to look religious. Amen. Righteousness means that we are the way God wants us to be. You know, righteous means as should be. So we become the way as planned us to be from the beginning. Sometimes we look righteous actually as the opposite. You know, it's just a layer of religion on us. See, God doesn't want us to look funny. God wants us to be effective in the things we do. So that when we do something, things happen instead of talking about it. See, the Pharisees looked religious. Jesus didn't look religious. And that's the problem with most of the people. They go and see movies done by, you know, Hollywood, and they think that that's the way Jesus looked. What's the wrong thing to do? Because it's, you know, how can they know? What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Go to God. Go to the Word of God if you want to know the way Jesus was. That's the only place that is qualified to tell you. Any other place is not. It's man's ideas. Do whatever you want, but if you follow that advice, you're going to be right. Anyway, so, righteousness of God. See, you are not your nature. If you are born again, if you are really born again, that doesn't mean you're all clean and you're perfect and everything else, because nobody is perfect. But if you are born again, your nature is not anymore this nature of a sinner, but it's the same nature that Jesus had in him. That's what the word says. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. It's the same spirit. That means the same spirit that Jesus had inside is inside you. I mean, that should be enough to make us do anything. I mean, if you start seeing yourself, looking at yourself that way, instead of, I'm a sinner, you know, saved by grace, you know, that's the last thing you have to think about it. I mean, you are not a sinner. If you're born again, you are not a sinner. Amen. If you say you're a sinner, you are denying what God said. Amen. See, people get some ideas and they push them, you know, to their destruction. How can you be overcoming if you see yourself as a sinner? What a sinner does? Sin. Absolutely. See, you have to start to see yourself as somebody that doesn't sin to be able to not to sin. See, this is a completely different way of thinking, but that's the problem with much of the beliefs of the people. They end up being weakly and powerless, and they don't get anything. They struggle all the time for the rest of their life because what they are, they're sinners. That's what they think. That doesn't mean that you go around and you do the wrong thing and you say, oh, I'm okay. No. You come to the Word of God and you see the Word of God is like a mirror, and you look into the Word of God and, you know, you do what the Word of God says. And when you don't do that, you see, because you forgot what you are like. And you fall into the old patterns. And this is why your mind has to be renewed, so that you see yourself the way God sees it all the time. You don't need to think about it. You see, when you walk in the Spirit, you don't think about doing the right thing. Because if you had to think about doing the right thing, you're not walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the vanity of your mind. Well, you want to get results? Change the way you think. Change the way you see yourself. And when you start doing that, you're going to start to see that actually, you know, there is so much power inside you that you're going to be surprised. This is what God wants for us. You know, and that doesn't mean that we become perfect. We are not perfect. You know, there's going to be a time. But we are on the way now. And there are lots of thinking or ideas that need to be changed inside us. And this is why we need the Word of God. We need the Word of God so that we see ourselves in it. and we see the way we should be or we are supposed to be, and then we look at ourselves and you say, well, wait a minute, you know, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And instead of putting ourselves down, we go to the Word of God and we allow the Word of God to change the way we see ourselves so that we start acting that way. All right. So what I want to say here is this. Okay. The righteousness of God, okay, is inside us. And if you go, you know, that's the basis for being born again. If the same spirit that was in Jesus is not in you, you are not born again. You see, that's the difference that makes, you know, T.L. Osborne many years ago, he's passed away, but many years ago said, you know, the difference between somebody and a Christian is only one thing. That in the Christian, the Spirit of Christ is in him. That's sound doctrine. That's the truth. And this is what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. So we're going to read it now. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ today? Are you born again? Okay, so but there are consequences of that. He is a new creature. Can you say, I am a new creature? Do you believe that? Or do you believe you are an old sinner? Okay, that's good. See, it says all things have passed away. That's the old sinners passed away. See, that you have to remind yourself of that. Okay? So let's say it together. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What does it mean that we become new? They're not the same anymore. Amen. Take hold of that truth, because this is, I'm not, you know, it's not my doctrine. This is what the Word of God says. You know, I don't care what anybody else says. I don't go by what people say. I go by what the Word of God says. You know, and so, you know, and this is why you get results when you do things. It says, now all things are of God. That's good. All things are of God now. Not sometime in the future. Not when by and by I'm up there. You know, it's right now, all things have become new. Inside you, the same way as inside me. I'm not any special. You know, people want to be special. You don't need to be special. You need to be the way God wants you to be. Righteous. And he wants to be everybody to be righteous. Not just you. Amen? All right. Who has reconciled us to himself. So we are reconciled. Can you say, I am reconciled to God? Through Jesus Christ. Not through your own work. That's right. See, but that has to become real to you. See, that's the way the righteousness of God manifests itself in you. And then, you know, it doesn't stop there. You know, has reconciled and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You see, so it's not, doesn't stop with us. You see, so we had to convey, we had to distribute, if you had to give to others this truth, we had to share it with others. Can be righteous if you don't start actually doing that. See, we need to share the truth with others so that, you know, it's by sharing, by experiencing, by living the truth that we actually, you know, manifest it. You know, you don't learn, you cannot learn to drive the bike by saying, I can drive the bike. Hello? You had to jump into one and maybe follow a few times before you're going to be able to go and do it, or skiing or anything, playing, whatever. You see, it's always the same thing. You had to do things to be able to experience the truth and to be able to learn to do it. Well, it's the same thing with the walking in righteousness. I mean, it's, you know, the fact that, oh, if I fell again, oh, I made a mistake again, who cares? Instead of, you know, allow pride to say, oh, I know I had to be perfect, you know, just allow, recognize the mistake, says, thank you, Lord. You know, this is something I had to overcome. Just empower me. Just look at them, don't look at the problems. He empowers you to do it. What's the difference is that when you start thinking that way, when you start doing that, you start experiencing victory. And the more victory you experience, so victory is reproduces itself. Everything reproduces after itself. So, you know, if you go from failure to failure and you look at failure, what do you think you're going to get after? Failure. You're not going to change anything. This is why looking at your sins and your problems is not going to help you. Recognize them and know and go. Instead of looking at them, look at God. Look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why? Because he shows you what to do. He empowers you to overcome. Not only you, but gives you the ministry of reconciliation so you can empower other people. Instead of putting them down, lift them up. Give, you know, empowering means that you give them the ability to overcome because you share things with them that motivates them and enable them to do more than what they are doing before. This is why we have to look at our mouth before trying to minister to other people. And make sure that we follow this principle instead of the other principle of putting down. Putting down doesn't help anybody. Now, you know, there is another element that I want to stress about righteousness. Okay, and we have to understand how to implement this principle because often is implemented the wrong way. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So it's just after, in one chapter after, from verse 14 to verse 18. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? You know, many people that come to the Lord, they find very difficult to break through their old patterns. Because they, of their friends, or the people that surrounds them, they, or their, sometimes even their family, or other people that, you know, so what happens is that they are influenced by this, and they never break through, because they, you know, they try to go up, and these people pull them down again. And because they don't take the right step toward them, they are never succeeding. See, you go with somebody that swear all the time, after a while, you know, at the beginning may bother you, after a while you get used to it and doesn't make you any difference, and you keep going and you're going to swear too. Why? Because you are influenced by the environment you are in. Now, this is why it says very clearly here, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Now we're going to see some other element, but let's first read the scripture, then let's try to see how we should apply that. And what communion has light with darkness? See, if light is in you, you don't want to be in a place where there is darkness. And what accord has Christ with the devil, Belial? Okay? Or what part has believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement? I mean, this is, you know, going on and on, describing lots of things that are involved here, you see, but you have to see and probably understand this. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? See, you are the temple of God. How can you be in agreement with somebody that is a temple of all the idols, of all the other worshiping stuff that there's the wrong thing? there is cannot be any communion between you and them. Because the very moment when you are in communion with them, you know, and that's the key thing, communion. Because, you know, you are in the world, it doesn't matter what. You are going to be surrounded by these things. The world surrounds us, and the world is not full with God. You don't need to have a theological degree to find out that. You just look at what's going on around you. So you can see that, you know, he's telling us that we cannot have communion with them. Because what is inside us is different what they have. Okay. And God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. See, holiness is not a look that you have. Holiness means separation. Okay? Therefore, come out from among them, and you will see. Church, ecclesia, means the called out. And you, I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Can you say sons and daughters?
Sons and daughters.
Amen, says the Lord Almighty. You see, the problem is that they don't take the step, people, to separate you, themselves properly from the world. Doesn't mean that you see, God is not calling us to be a ghetto, you know, Christians. We are in the world, and we have to be in the operating in the world, and we are coming in contact all the time with people in the world. They depend on us to come to God. If we are not ministering to them, they're going to be lost forever. So God is not telling us not to be in contact with other people. He's telling us not to have communion with them. That's a big difference. Says that, you know, you have nothing in common with them. Because you are different. Because the Spirit of God is in you and is not on them. You are the temple of God and they are not. They are the temple of the devil. If they know it or not. But that's the truth. They're, you know, either you are a son of God or you are a son of the devil. Okay? But that doesn't mean that you separate yourself in the physically from them. It means that you have to separate yourself spiritually from them. That means that you have to not have communion with them. That's why, you know, it says do not be unequally yoked with them. You see, it's the yoke, the problem. It's not the fact that the power of God is in you and is not on them, in them. The implication is that you had to have your power influencing them, not their power influencing you. And you have to do something about it. You have to recognize what that's happening. And you know how do you recognize that? When the power of the devil is influencing you and you are not influencing them? Is when you start compromising. When you compromise your value, your position, to please them, and to think that that way you are going to bring them to the Lord, you are fooling yourself. Because you are giving in to their demons instead of the Spirit of God dealing with those demons. Hello? Doesn't mean that we need to, you know, not be in contact with them. We are in the world, but you are not of the world. Are you following me? When you come in communion with somebody, you make sure that this person is a believer. But you minister to the people in the world. You're going to be in contact with them. But realize when they start to affect you and pull out so that you can recharge and you're not influenced by them. So that you can go out and influence them afterwards. So see the way you connect with them. Hello? Are you still there? See, this is true. In some cases, we are connected because, a family, or maybe because they work with us, or whatever. Don't let that be the factor. If they are driven by idols and demons, don't let their demons drive you. God is more powerful than their demons. You take a position. If they reject you, it's their problem. See, Jesus said, they reject me, they hate me, they'll hate you. If you want to be loved by the demons, you're going to do what the demons want. Hello. It is foolish to compromise values to bring people to the Lord. That's what Jesus did all the time. He was, Jesus was having, meals with tax collector, with sinners, with prostitutes, yeah. But he wasn't doing anything that these people would do. They, in his presence, they had to line up with him. In your presence, people had to line up with you. Hello? You see, you are called to be the salt of the earth, the lights in this world. Don't put a cover on the light so that they feel comfortable. They should feel uncomfortable with you, because the demons are going to kick up fuss just because you are present. Hello. They can't stand your presence in some case because you convict them. Well, good. That means you're doing something right. Hello? But doesn't mean that you separate yourself to the point that, you never see them anymore or you don't do anything. No, you go there and you take a position. And you call the Spirit of God to minister to you so that you know what's going on inside yourself. So that you realize when you're compromising, when you're giving in, when you're doing things to be accepted. You know, you don't need to be accepted. They need to be convicted. Amen. That doesn't mean you put them down. But you take a position for the truth. It's not a question of telling them, you are a dirty sinner. That doesn't help anybody. Are you still there? You know, that's the place where we have to realize that we have a part that God calls us in to be. That's the manifestation of the righteousness that is in us. See, our righteousness is going to affect them. Because sometimes we don't need to say any much because they know where we stand. And they won't do certain things in front of you just because of who you are. You know, I remember when I was working in the government and, some of my staff, they didn't dare to do certain things when I was there. And I didn't try to, you work in the government, you cannot really push the gospel in an open way, but they knew where I stood. You know, I would get close, they would say, probably they are saying a dirty joke, and they would stop. And I would go there, I would say, what's going on, They were laughing, I said, what's going on? Oh, no, that's, we can say these things when you are there. All right. Good. I was saying, go away. You know why? Because they knew where I stood. I didn't need to go around saying much because my position was clear to everybody. Hello? So people should know you. Why? Because you are representative of the King. And the Spirit of God is inside you. You know, it happens so many times. And if you see, the people, And I didn't try to please them. See, they end up, see, the spirit in me was stronger than the demons in them. And I wasn't putting them down. I was witnessing to them sometime and trying to bring them to the Lord, and I brought some to the Lord. So are you following what I'm saying? See, but has to be from us, you know, a decision or a position, you know, that we are going to divorce ourselves from certain things. I mean, not just, you know, go away and do nothing, you know, for a while and then go back and, you know. There should be really a decision, a clear decision of where we stand in certain areas, and know that we are not going to please the enemy. We want to please God. All right. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Can you see the... Can you get excited about that thought? You know, the same spirit raised Jesus from the... The same spirit that was in Jesus is in you. Can you see the consequences, the impact of that? 1 Corinthians, you lost the number?
Yes.
All right, ask and shall be given. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Are you following what I'm saying? See, this is an important step. You know, we cannot go around as saying that we are the righteousness of God and we mix with things that are unrighteous. Or we mix in the wrong way. We have communion with people that are unrighteous. We can minister to them. We should minister to them. That's the only way they're going to get saved. And one of the things that we can do for them is to show God the love of God for them. You know, they don't need to be righteous to be healed. That's what Jesus did. He went around and healed everybody. I mean, that's a convincing way to minister to the gospel, don't you think? I mean, that's the way Jesus ministered. You know, healing is not something that we earn. It's a gift from God, and it's to everybody. He healed all of them that came to him. Nothing has changed. Today, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Learn, you know, to heal people. They'll listen to you after that. If you try just to push religion down their throat, they will spew it out because there's no power in it. Praise the Lord. Well, I think for today we can close. Did you get anything today?
Yes.
See, we want to be the righteousness of God. Can you say, I am the righteousness of God?
The same spirit is in me.
That was in Jesus. When he was resurrected from the dead. So you can be resurrected today, healed today, set free today, anything today. Now. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we can close. And just let this truth transform your mind and your heart. This is what God wants for us. All right, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for your truth that set us free. Thank you, Lord, that as we appropriate and realize, Lord, the truth of the gospel, Lord, and we receive it in our heart, Lord, He changes everything in our lives and gives us victory beyond any imagination or thought that we can have. Lord, and we thank you for that. We praise you, Lord, and we love you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and I'll see you, some of you on Tuesday, some of them next week.